The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Victoria Morgan, CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet, about the healing power of dance. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is some information about young adults and the stressed-out generation. That's kind of sad, but it's important for us to listen. These young Americans between ages 18 and 33, the so-called millennial generation, are supposedly more stressed out than the rest of the population, and this is according to a new report from the American Psychological Association. What's stressing them out, you say? Well, the report says jobs and money, mostly. But I'm sure there are many other things, such as being overscheduled, as we've all observed. 49% of these young people say that they aren't managing their stress well. Only 23% think their doctor helps them make healthy lifestyle and behavioral changes. And only 17% think their doctors help them manage their stress. Well, we've got some ideas for you young listeners. Number one, try to work on that schedule. There have to be at least one or two days of the week when you can just lay around and do nothing, have no deadlines, no place to go, and just breathe in the universe. Number two, set your priorities. What really matters to you most? Make sure you set aside time for refreshing exercise, for relationship building, to play, to laugh, to dance. Number three, deep breathing. This is a yoga technique. It's very easy to do any place, any time, during the day, before bedtime, in a stressful test, in a stressful moment. And finally, walking and talking. Take the dog, take a best friend, go out in nature and examine nature with all of your senses and the experience that's been given to you as a part of your journey. Young people, I hope this helps you, and I hope you will manage your stress for a long and prosperous life. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Miss Victoria Morgan is the Artistic Director and CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet. She's on the board of Dance Magazine and Dance USA. She came to Cincinnati Ballet after nearly a decade as resident choreographer for the San Francisco Opera. She was the principal dancer for the San Francisco Ballet and Ballet West. Miss Morgan graduated magna cum laude with an MFA from the University of Utah, and was honored in 2009 as a distinguished alumna. She was also honored in 2009 as a YWCA Career Woman of Achievement. Welcome, Victoria, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, how and when did you get interested in dance, and how is it that you did choose ballet as your performing art?
You know, I feel like it wasn't my choice. I felt like dance came into my life and it took a hold of me and just, I don't know, connected me on every level imaginable, you know, in the mind, in the spirit, in the soul. And I started young. I had a stomach hernia and the doctor said, this little girl needs exercise. And that was at 2 years old, so I started taking contemporary, more like modern dance, expressive, you know, this is the wave of the leaves on the trees. And then at eight, I started into ballet. And outside of a few brief deviations in high school when I wanted to go to the senior prom and be a cheerleader and stuff like that, I've pretty much stayed the course.
You know what I think is really interesting historically and how history repeats itself? As I understand it, you have classes for two-year-olds, patient-assisted classes for two-year-olds at the Cincinnati Ballet, Otto M. Budig Academy, and it's almost as if your life is being legacied before your eyes.
I hadn't really thought of it that way, but that's absolutely true. It's the most amazing thing to see this collection, mostly of young girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a few boys, but mostly young girls in their pink leotards and tights. And they're starting to already form that relationship with your body where you think about where's the right leg and moving it forward, and you get a sense of the fact that your body can move with music, and it can start very early and can, you know, connect to finding ways of expression, I think, especially at an early age, that is sort of impossible with words.
Mm. I want to congratulate you on the 2013-14 50th anniversary season and for the Cincinnati Ballet being acknowledged as one of the country's leading mid-range ballet companies under your excellent directorship.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of the troupe?
Sure. Well, we actually started around 1963, 64. 63 was when we had big auditions, the very first audition for our Cincinnati Ballet. The company was formed. It was called Cincinnati Civic Company. And there were literally 200 young dancers who showed up, and this was just the early stages. You know, they were trying to get something started. It was all volunteerism, and they brought in a few professionals to help lead and guide the company. But the first actual performance wasn't technically until 1964. And there was a wonderful founding director, David McLean, who was leading this company and sort of inventing the relationship that Cincinnati Ballet would have with its community through the university. I mean, he was very masterful in his thought process and strategic in his thought process. And he reigned and linked the company in so many ways. He was with us for 19 years. And then he sadly passed away sort of unexpectedly. Am I rambling too much, or do you want me to make it more
succinct? Oh, no, it's fascinating. Go on.
Okay. And then after that, there was a little bit of chaos that occurred because the artistic directorships came and went rather quickly. None of the artistic directors after that period of time lasted more than a couple of years. And, you know, that's sort of difficult when you don't have consistent vision and leadership. I've always felt that, you know, you have an idea and you have a vision for a potential of what a company could look like. And it takes you at least 5 years to really set the path and really feel like you can maybe eventually attain that vision. So I think that what happened is it ended up a little bit splintering and going in different directions. And even though some of the artistic directors were, you know, wonderful and even famous, Yvonne Nagy was in there, and he was a principal dancer with American Ballet Theatre and danced with all the big ballerinas of the time. And Richard Collins was there, and he had studied in Russia, and I think he became the first soloist with the Bolshoi Ballet. And so there was a lot of, I guess you'd say, expertise and a lot of great experience mm-hmm. that was brought to the company, but not continuity. And then I came in 1997, and You know, I'm in my 16th year. I can hardly believe it. But I think that I did, because of longevity in many ways, have an opportunity to really push forward a vision, an aesthetic, an idea about priorities that I think are important for a ballet company. And it took me a while to better understand. I came from a long history with San Francisco Ballet in my more mature and growing up formative years as a professional dancer. So I sort of had that as an image that I wanted to follow and that I wanted to be inspired by. But, you know, we're in Cincinnati, and I discovered that one of the things that is really important about a ballet company in any community, you know, I thought it was really all about the quality and the excellence of what you see on stage. But I really feel that it's important that you link with the community and that you have a relationship with the community. So it's one reason that we have this vast, almost 1,400 students in our Otto and Buttock Academy, as you refer to. And we also have very extensive education outreach program that consists of not only the creative residencies where we go into the schools and it's during school hours and also after school hours and we teach dance. We offer in-step programs where we take our professional dancers to the schools and help young students understand even the possibility or the fact that it actually is a reality that you can have a career in dance. And we also go into, we're in right now 23 schools with our Cincy Dance program, which is mostly Title I supported schools. And that's, you know, schools where lunch is brought in. It's really underprivileged young children. And that's been sort of miraculous because, you know, these young people, they don't, they come from difficult homes. And I can only imagine really what that might be like to have your home life, which is supposed to be a base, have it so fractured and so I'm sure changing. And to actually be able to bring, you know, dance into their lives, to have someone realize that you can put your mind into your body and you can understand, you can form a relationship with your body, and to have the sensation of music really push and pull, and to have this idea that you can gain physical power and strength. And there's so many lessons to learn, you know, through this art form. I'm just going to give you one example, and that is, you know, the idea that something that you only think, that is only a vision, can become a reality. And in our art form, we live that because we imagine there's a perfect way. It sounds crazy, but there is a perfect way to make an arabesque position. And there is a perfect way to do what we call the développé à la seconde. And it's very detailed, and it's having to do with putting your mind into making sure that the hips are square, that the spine is long, that the breath is lifted, that the sternum is up, that the neck is long and the shoulders are down, and there's an air under the elbow, and there's a release in the wrist, and there's this very gentle coordination that goes with how the arms work with the legs. And, you know, and it takes a while to get there. Just because you think it doesn't mean that your body can do it. So you work it and you push it and you're thinking about it and dealing with it every day. And eventually, maybe it's 2 weeks later and maybe it's 2 years later, you've actually attained the way to execute a particular step.
Well, that takes my breath away. And I'm going to just invite us to take a break right now, Victoria, and we're going to come back, and I want to hear more about how ballet can really bring out emotions and the senses in life, as well as body coordination and control. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight, we're privileged to talk with Victoria Morgan, the Artistic Director and CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight our guest is Victoria Morgan, Artistic Director and CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet. Well, Victoria, I have a quote on your website from one of your dancers, Jimmy Cunningham, that I think will be a good entrance into a little brief discussion on the emotion of dancing and how healing and expressive dance can be from that regard. And he's speaking about particularly performing with live music, which I kind of wanted to weave this in as well, because I truly believe that your ballet is set apart with regard to having live music. And Jimmy says, when I'm on stage performing with live music, I know that the entire theater breathes as one, sometimes holding that breath together in awe. Live music makes us part of something big, something important. It raises the bar on the level of art we so desperately feel the need to achieve. The power brings out parts of ourselves as artists that we never knew that we had. I know that because of all of my senses that are heightened on stage, and the experience that is produced is more complete for all of us. A fuller joy is brought in the eyes and the ears, looking back, end quote. That's incredible. The emotion of dance. Can you express oneself? Can one express in ways that words do not? All of the emotions, experience all of the senses in a more heightened fashion in ballet.
Because I recently finished choreographing, I should say, updating a production of Romeo and Juliet. And I remember first working on it and feeling so intimidated about how clever the words were and all the entendres and all the deep double meanings and how the words really led the thought process and the relationship to the story. And I remember feeling, oh my goodness, how do we make something that is wordless, that is really just about moving, how do we make it as poignant and powerful as this story? And, you know, as we started working on the piece, I began to realize something about our art form, that it is difficult. You're not going to be able to fully present, describe multiple layers of meanings through words and vocabulary. In our art form, it is a path to the spirit that is really basic and really honest and really, it's unifying in a way, because it doesn't have the barrier of language, you know, because it doesn't matter whether you speak English or French or Russian. You can watch the movement expression of someone who is passionately in love. You know, we talked about this young girl falling in love for the first time and this young man. And that first sort of hot blush of chemistry that you can't even understand or control. And you can say so much about the human condition and the human spirit through movement. For me, it has always been a much more effective path to communication, because in my youth, I was, you know, raised in a very strict Mormon family, and I mean, there were wonderful things about it, of course, but it was, in my family, it was very expected that the woman did not raise her voice, she didn't disagree, she didn't participate in behavior that wasn't, you know, supportive of I guess you'd say more the man with the priesthood, and I was just terribly shy. I really did not know how to even talk, honestly, and it's always been one of the most difficult things moving into a leadership position for me was to really try to access and verbalize things that I felt so much in the studio where really I was silent, you know, I just was talking with my body. And so I discovered at a rather early age that my sense of self and ability to talk about myself as an individual and to believe in myself was in the studio. That's where I felt I had control and power. I could work as hard as I wanted to work and improve as much as I wanted to improve. And it was something that women could do. I felt I was in a place where it wasn't expected that I could possibly be a lawyer or a doctor. But, you know, I could be a dancer. I could find this place of fulfillment that was, again, like I was talking about Romeo and Juliet, it's very basic and it's very real.
Mm. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about Dame Margot Fonteyn, one of the greatest classical ballerinas of all time. And somewhere I read one of her quotes that goes like this: "Great artists are people who find the way to be themselves in their art. Any sort of pretension induces mediocrity in art and life alike."
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I love that because I think so much of what art has to be about is honesty. And, you know, you can't fake it. I mean, it's very interesting as a dancer, a ballet dancer, you can't pretend like you took all those ballet classes and you learned all of that technique. You have to go through the exercise of it and you have to go through the discipline of it. And it's very interesting how accessing that discipline frees up a path of communication and a way to be honest that you, in some ways, you couldn't find it through any other path. And so I think it's really important, and it was really important for me as a dancer to be true to myself, because I remember when I was dancing with San Francisco Ballet, a beautiful young new dancer came on board, and she was about, you know, she was about my height and about my size, and she just kind of came in and she started taking some of the roles that I was doing, and I started thinking, oh, I have to be more like her. She's got this kind of attack, and I have to be like that maybe. And I started shifting out and moving away from a base of expression that was really where my strength was, and it weakened me. And I felt that in order to get back to, you know, the real sense of artistry and depth and honesty, there's something about having to be honest when you're expressing yourself as an artist that I think makes your story real to other people. So I don't know.
I love it.
I usually don't talk about these kind of things.
Well, so. I'm able to pull that out of you. How about that? I want to give you a scripture. I've got a couple of gifts for you, Victoria. And the first is from Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you were brought onto this earth, my friend, to dance. I also want to give you kudos for an incredible production last fall for Alice in Wonderland that I was privileged to attend. It was one of the most opulent experiences that I have ever participated in, from the costuming to the choreography. Took my breath away. And I'm sure you've heard this feedback over and over, have you not?
Oh, it was so much fun. We had a riot doing it, and so many people loved it. Just and described it as you did. I was thrilled to be able to do it.
Wonderfully great. Done. What else is coming up soon that you'd like to share with our listeners in the closing moments here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be appropriate. You know, we have this beautiful story, Prodigal Son, coming up on March 22nd and 23rd. And it is a long-time ballet. It was very first created by George Balanchine early in for the Ballet Russe in 1929, and then revamped and updated in 1950. But it's a story that obviously has stood the test of time. It's based on the biblical story, but it's also a ballet for in our world has stood the test of time. You know, from 1950, New York City Ballet still performs it. It is a work that is so moving. It's impossible for me not to cry when I watch it. And it is, you know, the power of redemption and forgiveness and that sense of being able to come back home, to be able to come to that place of strength. And there are two other pieces that are going to be on that program. We have also a work called Extremely Close by a young choreographer who I think is going to be hot, hot, hot. And I think we've captured him just at the right moment before he's too expensive and slips out of our grasp, Alejandro Cerrudo, a beautiful, mesmerizing, very inventive, hypnotic work. It's to Philip Glass music, and it just sort of undulates and takes you in, and it's an unimaginable world. It's very interesting relationships with visual objects. And the last piece is going to be Pure Dance. It's from one of the Brandenburg Concertos, I think it's number 4, and it's lively and just the sheer exuberance and amazing experience of being alive and hearing amazing music and watching that music take shape and form in bodies and patterns, and it's really fun.
Well,
and
I can't
our last,
wait.
Do I have time to tell you about the very last one?
Very quickly.
Okay, I'm going to make it fast. We have Peter Frampton on April 26th and 27th, and he is live on stage with our Cincinnati Ballet, and he was so excited about this collaboration working out that he actually created an original composition. So the middle ballet will be original composition. It's 3 world premieres to go with Peter Frampton and his band. Live on stage.
He's a doll. I actually met him at Starbucks one time.
Oh, isn't he great?
By quite coincidence. Yeah, he's amazing. He's had an amazing career.
Yeah.
All right, very quickly, where can listeners go for more information on the Cincinnati Ballet?
Join us on our website at C as in the letter C as in Cincinnati, ballet.org. And you're welcome to call for tickets at 513-621-5282.
Thank you so much, Victoria Morgan, CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet, for being our guest on Your Holistic Health this evening.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I've really enjoyed it.
Now, I'm going to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and this is for Victoria, as well as our listeners, and it's a poem by Jessica Hendricks, and it's about dance. She says, "I can't dance. My fancy dance pants don't dance. They seem to prance, but never dance. So if you see my fancy dance pants, make them dance," end quote. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of free health-related articles written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Nalini Chilkoff talk about acupuncture in cancer patients on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.